We begin the current daf and says Chagiga daf yud test. We begin on the bottom of your tes and beis, 5 lines up from the bottom of the yamud, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that began on the top of your tes and beis, as we explained that although we're talking about Maseches Chagiga, which talks about the halachas of yamtiv, specifically the karbanos that are brought on yamtiv, however, we introduced the halachas of tuma, which then has differentiations between different types of people regarding how we consider them in halachas of tahara, which Ameiratzim, ignoramuses, although generally we consider them with a certain status of Tumah, but regarding Yom Tov, as we'll see, and that's why we're introducing it, they're going to have different halachas, they will be considered Tahar. Now, in our Mishnah, we made many differentiations regarding different categories of what they are in regards to halachas of Tumah Tahar. One of the halachas was regarding if someone is immersing himself in a mikveh to become Tahar, depending what his intention is when he's being Mitar himself, the halacha will then be whether the halacha is that it's only tar for that. However, it will not have halacha of tahara, at least rabbinically, this is one of the milas, that for something higher than that. So for example, if let's say you're immersed for truma, you'll have halacha of tahara for truma and those things which are lower than that, like maister and chulun, but not for things higher like kodesh and for mechatas, and that's the halacha of differences for what your intention was. So related to this, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Taraban hanaitel yadav, someone washes his hands. Now the term netila is always with a kli, with a vessel. So if only someone washes his hands with a vessel, which certain things, as we opened up our Mishnah on Yud Chesam Beis, require netila sidaim to mitar themselves. So if niskaven, if he had intention that thereby he should be purifying himself his hands, he's not just washing because he wanted some water or cleanliness, it was for the halacha of tahara, then yod of tahara, then his hands become tar. Loi niskaven, if he didn't have intention by washing his hands for the halacha of netilas yadayim, then yadav tameis, his hands remain tamei, it needs to have kavana. But in amatbo yadav, same thing goes when one immerses his hands, which that's halacha, as we saw in the Mishnah, certain things, let's say for kachim, need to have tvilas yadayim, you have to immerse your hands, although your whole body doesn't have to, but your hand has to go into a mikvah of 40 sah. So then the same thing is niskaven, if you had intention by doing it, let's say you go by a river, and you're just sticking your hands in because you just wanted to make it wet or to find some fish. So then that will not be. It has to be niskaven that you intended to put it in for tevilas yadayim, then yadav tahiras, then your hands are tahar. Loi niskaven, again, if you didn't have intention, you were just cooling off, then yadav tameis, your hands will remain tamei. That's what this brisa says. So that the Gemara adds, but time learned in the brisa that says, bein niskaven bin loi niskaven yadav tahiras. Whether you had intention or didn't have intention, your hands are tahar. So that seems to be a clear contradiction between these two prices. So Rav Nachman, he says, loy kasha, it's not a difficulty. Because kan l'chulan, the brisa that said that doesn't make a difference, whether you had intention or not, it will be tahar. That was talking about regarding chulan. When chulan needs to have an tefilas yadayim, then, or if one does a tefilas yadayim, then whether you had intention or not, it will be good. Now we continue on top of your testament alf. Kan l'maiser, here we said you have to have kavana, was talking about by maiser. And most definitely by truma, that if, again, if one needs to be tahar for truma, one has to have kavana when one's doing it, and that was the brisa that says you need to have kavana. Now the Gemara asks on this resolution, where do we know that chulin does not require kavana? That if, let's say, someone is coming to eat something of chulin, as we said in the previous daf, let's say bread, you're coming to eat a meal of bread of chulin, regular unconsecrated bread, you have to do netilas yadayim. But that our Gemara is saying that you don't need to have kavana if you just did it without intending, but you did it, then you don't need to wash again. Where do you know that from? So the Gemara said, "Did not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos." The Mishnah says as follows: Gal shenitlash uboy rabam soy. If there's a huge wave, they got detached from the ocean, and in that wave there's 40 saw, which is the amount of a necessary of water of a mikvah. V'nafal ala adam alakelim, and then this wave just comes crashing down on a person and on utensils. Tahirin, they're tahir. They got immersed in 40 saw of water. Now, on that the Gemara says, "Ketani adam dumi dekelim." It seems to be comparing a person to utensils. Now, ma'kim d'loy mechavni, just like utensils, can't have intention in saying, "Hey, let me become tahar." The water just comes crashing down on it. Af adam d'loy mechavni. So too, we must say that a person is the same thing. He doesn't have to have intention. It just comes crashing down on him. He just happens to be in the mikvah of water. That itself is enough. And therefore you see, for sure by chulin, which is the lowest level of all these things, that you don't have to have intention, just if you happen to fall into a mikvah, you're tar. Now that the Gemara asks on that raya from the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos, umi mai. How do you know that that is the understanding of that Mishnah? Dilma b'yeshiv u'mitzapa, maybe actually to the contrary, maybe it's talking about that someone's sitting there and waiting, Maybe it's talking about a case where he heard there's going to be huge waves, high tide, and he's waiting till this huge wave comes and is going to detach itself and fall on him. And therefore, actually, the Hekesh is the other way. The Kelim Dumi Da Adam, actually comparing utensils to the person. And that is Ma Adam the Bar Kavana, just like as we explained, maybe theoretically that's the case where the person has intention, he's waiting for the water to come in on top of him. Av Kelim De Mechavan Lahu, and therefore maybe the utensils actually told him about a case where the person who put the Kelim there put it there intentionally. Maybe don't learn that it's talking about, well, utensils don't have kavana. No, the person is waiting for the waves. So too, it means to say, if someone placed the vessels there intentionally, only then they'll become tar. But if not, even Kalim wouldn't become tar. So therefore, it's not a riot from the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos. Maybe actually you need to have kavana. Now, the one who is rejecting the proof says, now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say, b'yeshuv mitzapa, that it's like what I'm saying, is talking about where the guy's anticipating it, he's having kavana. So the Maila Memra, then what's the Chiddush? Why would you have to say it? What would be the difference? You, of course, it's like going into a mikveh. So it came from on top, or you go into the water. What's the difference? If it would be saying the Chiddush that you want to say that it just happened to be, so that would be a Chiddush, and saying you don't need to have Kavanah. But if I'm saying he's anticipating, so what would be the Chiddush? That's not a difficulty. I could still reject your proof from the Mishnah, Masechtas Mikvayos, because Sokatar Techimina, I would think to say, and that's why you have to say the Mishnah to come to exclude from that, the Ligzer, maybe we should make a decree that it shouldn't work, even if he's waiting, anticipating it. Because Dilma Asi Lamitful Bachar Dolis Shal Gesham. Because maybe then, if we allow when a body of water comes down on you, which in this case is talking about a wave that detached and coming on you, you might come to allow when there's a huge torrent, a flow of water that's coming down from a higher plateau, and it has in it in that flow 40 saw of water, that we might come to permit that. And the halacha is, as Rashi says, that such a tevila, immersion, would not work. And Rashi gives two reasons. He says because such a case, a conceptualization of when a torrent of rainwater is coming down on you, must be it's on a very steep slope. Now, 40 saw, if it's coming in the steep slope, makes it that it's not in one area, it's not in one place, it's coming down the slope. Now, the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus tells us that nitzik v'katafras are not a chibur, meaning these types of flows that are coming down a steep incline, we don't view the waters as connected. And therefore, that won't work. Now, moreover, Rashi says, even if it's not in that category of katafras, you still wouldn't be able to immerse in it. And he says, very simply, is because it's rainwater. Rainwater cannot purify a person when it's moving. It has to be in what's called a mikveh. The word mikveh is from the word of Nikovin, that they're gathered together, which is what's called halachically ashbayrin, still waters. As the Brisa tells in Teres Koyanim, you would think if just like a mayan, a fountain, a well purifies even when it's flowing, so too a mikveh you would think would purify even when it's flowing. That's what the pasuk teaches. Ach mayan ubor mikveh mayim yitar. That is the mayan, that fountain that could purify when it's bzeichalin, when it's flowing, but a mikveh would only purify when it's in still waters. And therefore, there's two reasons why this chardola shal gesham shouldn't work. But be that as it may, we would think if we allow you to become tar when the wave comes crashing on you, even if you're anticipating it, but then you might come to allow a different case of when water comes crashing down on you when you're on the bottom of a mountain and the chardola comes crashing down, and we give two reasons why that doesn't work, or inami, or even this case itself of the wave we should be concerned. Because nigzer Russian, we should make a gzera decree of when one of the heads, meaning the top part of the wave, when it comes crashing down onto the earth, atuchefen. Because if we allow you when it comes crashing down on you, when you're on earth, then you might come to permit even the arch itself, meaning the middle part of the wave, when it's in the ear, when it's that you see that big wave in on top of you, which is like an arch. Then if you throw utensils up into that arch and immerse it that way, because it's in 40 saw, that's not a tefillah, as the Gemara explains. Now, kamash malan dolo gezrinan, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that wouldn't work. So you would think that that's the chiddush. In other words, don't ask on me. I'm saying you're anticipating. Anticipating, so what's the difference? It's like regular immersing in the mikvah. And that I'll tell you, no, that's not a question, because you might think to invalidate the utilization of a wave that comes crashing down on you for one of two reasons. Either because then you might confuse that with chardol shal geshamim, or because then you might think that it's not just when it crashes down on you, you might allow it to be used even when you throw up a utensil into the middle of the arch. Kamash malan de la gezerin, that's the chiddush that I'm telling you, the Mishnah Mikvayos is teaching you, that we don't make such a gezerah. And therefore, you don't have a raya from this Mishnah, Maseches Mikvayos, that Bechulin, you don't need to have intention, because maybe it's actually Tumah when the person was anticipating it. He was intending to become purified when the wave comes crashing down on him. So now the Gemara just clarifies. So the Gemara has rejected the proof of Mikvayos, but the Gemara says, U'minot tamer d'loy matvilin bekeifin. Now we said that the second reason why maybe we would have thought this case wouldn't be good of the gal, of the wave, even if you're anticipating it, is because then you might have thought that it's not just when it crashes down on you, then it's like a mikvah, but then you might even be allowed, you would think, when you throw it up to the arch. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that that doesn't work, that we would have thought to make such a gzera? So it's kind of like we learned in the Mishnah, in the Braisa. The Braisa says, matfilin berashin ve'ematfilin mekeifin. Now, why is that? Why can't you immerse in the arch itself to throw it up and it'll be in that body of water of 40 sa? Lafisha'in matvilim ba'aver, because it can't immerse in the ear. The Torah doesn't say that a mikvah of the ear works for tvila, has to be contained on the earth, and therefore that wouldn't work. So basically, the Gemara is back to the question, so how do you know that for chulin, unconsecrated produce, you don't need to have intention when you become purified in a body of water, let's say in mikvah, you fall in, that it still will work? How do you know that? It's not a raya from that Mishnah, Maseches Mikvayos. So El Rav, the Gemara says, it's Mahadidnan. It's from a Mishnah, Maseches Machshirin. Mishnah says, Peiros shenaflu teich amasamayim. Produce, fruits that fall into a stream of water. Now, it fell into the water. So Pashat, Misha, Yadav, Tameis, Mnatlan, so it's going down the stream. So someone quickly, who it happens to be that his hands are Tameh, grabs, stretches his hands into the stream, and takes out the produce. So the halach is Yadav Tahiris. And this is the raya. His hands are tar, even though he didn't intend to purify it, he was just grabbing the produce. So this is the raya that we see that chulin, your hands become tar, even if you didn't have kavanah. Now the continuation of that Mishnah says, however, uperis enim chiyutan, the produce is not qualified for the halacha of kiyutan, which that is that for produce to become susceptible to tumah, it has to come in contact with water first. Now, however, moreover, it says that kiyutan, where it's written kiyitain, which the Gemara elsewhere darshans that no matter how the water got on it, but it has to be just like if you had put it on yourself, which means to say that it pleases you that it got wet. Now, that's not the case over here because you didn't want it to fall and it fell in and you're trying to save from the water. So your hands become tar, as we said, because you don't have to have kavana for an antila or the tefillah of your dayan regarding chulin. And however, the peiros do not become susceptible to tumah because it wasn't pleasing for you that they got wet. Now, the Mishnah continues, v'im b'shvil sh'yudchu yadav. Now, if you stuck your hands into the water because you wanted your hands to get washed off, you were pleased with your hands getting cleaned, then yadav taris, again, as we said, your hand is always going to be tahar, no matter what it was, because it automatically becomes tahar by just immersing in the water, you don't need kavana. But in this case, v'aperis harehin b'chiyutan, in this case, the produce is going to be considered susceptible to tumah, that it will be kiyutan, that there was water that was pleasing, that were pleased over that. And the reason is, because since when you're sticking your hand in, you're pleased with sticking your hands in, because now you get to clean your hands off, so essentially you're revealing that your intention is that you were pleased with the produce falling in, because that caused you to go ahead and stick your hands in to get it, and thereby wash your hands off. So that's a part of a process of being pleased with that the produce is in there in the water, so that then you can get your hands washed, and therefore we consider the produce in the category of chiyutan and vulnerable to the halachas of tumah, because it's hukshul tumah by coming in contact with water that pleases you. But be that as it may, that was the raya that we saw from this Mishnah, Maseches Machshirin, that we see this concept that chulin, although Meiser and Truma, they need to have kavana for the netilo, the tefillah sidayim, but regarding chulin, one does not have to have intention. If you just happen to get it wet in the form of netilo or tefillah, that will work. Now, however, Esvei Rabbeinu of Nachman, he asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hatayva l'chulin b'huchzak l'chulin. As we had opened up, we said that the Mishnah differentiates regarding what your intention is when you're going to do a tahara, meaning a tefillah. If it's for a lower level, it only works for that, but not for a higher one. So one of the cases was that if someone immerses v'chulin, so b'huchzak l'chulin, it becomes established in the purity of chulin, but also a meiser. But it comes forbidden from meiser, which is a higher level, which he didn't have intention for that tahara. Now the inference is, huchzak in. Only if you intended for your tefillah to be for chulin, then you'll be for chulin, just not for meiser. But lehochzik lo, it sounds like, but if you didn't intend for even chulin, then you won't even be hochzik even for chulin, not just not for meiser. And that contradicts what we said to resolve the contradiction that for chulin you don't need to have kavan at all. So the Gemara says, hachikama. What our Mishnah was saying was that afa pesha hochzik lechulin, even if it becomes established that you had in mind for chulin. You're right, chulin does not have to have any intention. But we're saying that even if you intended for chulin, but asla maisa, that was the chiddush. That still it's going to be forbidden for maisa, even when you had some of intention because it was a lower level, but not that for chulin you have to have. So Gemara continues asking, Esavir from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Tavol v'loy hosik. So it said that if you immersed and you didn't have any intention whatsoever, so the Mishnah said, then kilu loy tavol, it's as if you didn't even immerse yourself at all. As we said, you have to have kavana. So the Gemara infers, my love kilu loy tavol klal. It sounds like that means you didn't have an immersion at all and that it wouldn't work even for chulin. That contradicts what we said. So the Gemara says, loy kilu loy tavol l'maiser. It means that as if you didn't immerse for where the intention does begin, which the lowest for that is maiser, avol tavol chulin, but it is considered tefillah for chulin because that doesn't have to have any kavana whatsoever, ever. Now the Gemara tells us that who savar, he had thought, meaning he asked him the question, there was a discussion between Rabbah and Rav Nachman, and now he thought, dochi komadchila, he thought he was just pushing him off, meaning he was finding what's called a deichig teretz, just to find his way out, because it doesn't sound like as the simple translation, it sounds like it's not an immersion whatsoever, even for chulin, and that he was just saying that no, it's for maaser. However, nafak dog va'ashkach detan. He went out, he inspected, and he found that actually Brisa says this clearly, tavav lehoch hochzig, that if you immersed yourself, which is the case of a Mishnah, but you didn't have any intention whatsoever, asla ma'isa mutlchun. The Brisa says clearly, as he had answered him, that when we're saying it's not considered tefillah, it means to say you're forbidden from ma'isa, but you are permitted for chulin, because again, chulin does not need to have any kavana whatsoever. Now the Gemara continues in the topic of our Mishnah. Amr Balaza. Tavol, if someone immersed himself in the mikveh, now he comes out. V'ola, and he comes up from the water. So, machzik atzmoy, he could establish himself regarding the tefillah that he had just immersed in, l'chom asher yirtza, whatever he wants to. So, although he's out already, he could still have that kavana. Like we said, if you don't have any kavana, it doesn't work for anything. It'll work for chulin. However, what Rebbe Elazar is saying is that if you just came out, then you can go ahead and still have and create that establishment of what you want that tefillah to be for. Now that the Gemara has made, we learned in the Brais that says, "Oidehu ragli achas b'mayim." If he still has one foot in the water, then if he's hochzik l'davar kal, then if he's had established his tara for a lower level, let's say for something it's meiser or truma, then if he still has a foot in, machzik atzmo davar chamer, then he could go ahead and still create an establishment of his tara for something more stringent, let's say for kodesh or for mechatas. But Allah, but if he already came out, then he can't go ahead and now create establishments, kavana for tahara, for a higher level. It's already done, you're already out. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Laza, my love in a machzik cloud, doesn't it sound like that you can't go ahead and create any new halachic criteria? And that is, whether you went and you immerse yourself in the mikveh and you establish yourself on the lower level, whether you didn't establish yourself for anything, it's too late. You can't be machzik. You could only say and have a kavana and create this definition of the tefillah when you're in the mikveh. If you come out, then it's done. You can't go from a kal to a chamer and can't go from nothing to anything. And that contradicts what Rabbi Elazar, who said that if you didn't establish yourself at all, well, then when you come out, you could then retroactively define what status you had in the tefillah. You can't. You see that it's already too late. So that the Gemara says loy. No, it's not true. And actually the case of that brisa was specifically in the way it was phrased of going from a lower hachzaka to a more stringent hachzaka. And that is, oidehu, if he, as the case of that brisa was, if he still has a foot in the water, then afa pisha hochzik, as the brisa was saying a chiddush, even if you already established, let's say you wanted to do it just for meiser, then machzik, you could still go ahead and create your establishment, your definition of even for a mochamer type of a tahara, because you still have your foot in. And that is what the Brisa was saying, Allah, if you already came out, then imloy hochzik, then actually that's like Rebbe Elazar. If you didn't make any definition for anything, you just went and immersed without any creating any definition, then machzik. Then you could, as Rebbe Elazar said, even if you came out, define it for whatever you want. However, what the Brisa was saying is that im hochzik, if you already establish yourself for a lower level tahara, then ayna machzik, then you cannot go ahead and recreate it for a more stringent one. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, is because you already gave a definition. Your definition was for a lower level. Now, if you're still in this, so you could still go ahead and recreate it. But if you're already out and already had definition of a lower level, let's say for maisa you had made the tara, so it won't work for something higher like truma and kadshim and chatas. However, that does not contradict Rabbi Elazar's halacha, where you didn't have any definition whatsoever. When you immerse yourself, then even when you're ali, even when you're out, you could still go ahead and create the definition for whatever you want it to be machzik for. Now the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who's the Tana that we just quoted, that because Oidehu Ragle Achas B'mayim, that because he has one foot in the water, then we're going to be considered as if he's still doing the original Tvila immersion, and that even though he was machzik already for a certain level, let's say for a lower one of Meiser, he could still recreate it and be machzik for a high level. Who's the Tana of this Brisa that qualifies it based on having his foot still in the water, even though he's essentially out, he just has part of his body in? So Amr Pedas, he says Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana of that Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. That's not like learning the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis. Mishnah says, Mikvah Shenimdad, if they went and they measured the mikvah, the Yeshbei Arbo'im Sod Mechuvanis, and you know what? There's exactly the minimum amount allowed for a mikvah, exactly 40 Sod. Now, the Yardu Shnayim B'Tavlu Zechazin, now two people go into the mikvah, one after the other. So, the halacha said in that Mishnah is, Harishin Tar Vashenei Tamei. The first one's Tar, and the second one's Tamei, because the first guy that came out of the mikvah, there's some water on his body, and that is deficient now when the second one comes in, and therefore that means that the second one didn't tayvel in the kasher mikvah. On that, on Rabbi Yehuda said, Im hoyer raglav shel rishon nogis b'mayim, if the first one's foot is still in the water, the one guy is going down, the other one's not out yet, af hasheni tar, then even the second one will be tar, and therefore we see that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that if your foot's still in there, that still considers all the water on his body as if it's still in the mikvah, and hence the second one is immersing in that, and therefore he's the one that said you can still recreate the definition of what your intention for the status of this tahara should be if your foot is still in, which again we said does not contradict Rabbi Elazar, whose his halacha was that you could even do when you're out, when you didn't have any hachzaka whatsoever. Now the Gemara qualifies this halacha in the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis. He says, Machloikis, this Machloikis Rehudin Rabbanan is only B'mailis de Rabbanan. Means to say, when it's just for a rabbinic Tahara differentiation. And that is, if let's say the immersion of these two people was for one of the many Mailis, means to me the extra stringencies that the Chum had instituted. For example, let's say someone that's an Oinen, who lost a close relative, or someone that's what's called Mechusa Kippurim, he's Tahar, but it didn't bring his Karbanis for atonement, where then he needs to have a tevila, he has to immerse himself if he wants to partake of kadshim. Now, that's not a biblical tumah that the person has, it's just a rabbinic mila. Now, regarding that is what Rabbi Baravua said, that's what Rabbi Yehuda said, that the first one's leg that's still touching the water will apply the halachic principle of good achis, which good achis means to say that we see what's on him or whatever is on top as if it's going down. And therefore we see that water that's on his body as if it's still connected through his foot into the mikvah, and therefore the second one that's going will be immersing him in a mikvah of 40 sa. However, matumah l'tahara, but to go from a real biblical tumah to tahara, this is what Rabbi Abu says, according to everybody, hasheni tameh, the second one's going to be tameh, and because we don't view it as good achas, we don't see it as if it's going down, there's water out of the mikvah, and hence the second one will be tameh. And that's what the Gemara concludes behind the Rebbe Das. And this is how Rebbe Das, who he had said before, that when we had asked, who's the Tana of this Braisa that says that if your leg is still in there, then we're going to say you could still define your definition of your Tevila, that he said it's like Rebbe Yehuda and not like the Rabbanan. So obviously Rebbe Das held that the Rabbanan were disqualifying the utilization of the foot inside to consider as if you're still there, even regarding rabbinic milas. And that even there, Oidehu won't help, that having your foot in won't help, because Chazokah, this halacha of requiring intention, which was the discussion of our Mishnah, which we're opening over here, that if you're Huchzik Lekal, if you had intention for a lower level, let's say for Meiser, that you cannot go ahead and establish it for a more stringent one, that's only rabbinic Milas. And yet still Rapidus says that it's only going to be like Rabbi Huna, like Rabbanan. Obviously, he interprets like Rabbi Baravua that the Machlekes is even regarding Milas Rabbanan, and even there the Rabbanan say that no, having a foot in will not help, even if it's only for a rabbinic type of a tefillah. Now, however, Ikadam, there are those that say that Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabbi Baravua, that actually Machlekes metumah l'tahara. Actually, this Machlekes in Masechtas Mikvayis between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim is actually on biblical tumah, going from real tumah to tahara, and even there, Yehuda holds that if the first guy's foot is still in, it will help for the second guy. Ava b'maylis drabbana, but regarding rabbinic maylis, where the tefillah is only rabbinically, then divri ha'koil av shenitar, then according to everybody, even the chacham would agree that, okay, if the first one still has his foot in, we'll consider it enough to allow the second one's tefillah to be considered a kosher tefillah. And if the Gemara concludes, a pligid Rebbe does. This version argues on Rebbe does, because whereas we find a contra of Nachman, where this halacha of a dehu, still having your foot in, that if you were machzik for a kal, you could still be machzik, you could define your tefillah for something more stringent. According to him, it's actually according to everybody, not just according to Yehuda. Because according to him, Rabbanan do not argue on your Yehuda, only regarding biblical tumah from tumah to tahara. There they say that that won't work. But regarding Ma'ilis Rabbanan, which is the halacha of having this hachzaka, there he says even Rabbanan would agree that that would work, and therefore the halacha of Eideh would be according to everybody, and not like Rebbe Dasid said that it's only according to Rebbe Yehuda. Now, Oma Ula Ula said, I asked from Rebbe Yehuda the following question. The Rebbe Yehuda, according to this opinion, Rebbe Yehuda, that we just defined again the machlekes regarding did he say it only by Ma'ilis Rabbanan, or even did he say it by biblical tumah to tahara, but be that as it may, he said that by having your foot in, we view as if the water on his body is if it's still in the mikvah. So then, ma'ol lahatvul mechatan b'tineri. So he asked him the following question: can you go ahead and immerse needles and tinerius, where they're these types of they're made in the shape of a small fork, which they would use to then spin gold? Can you go ahead and immerse these things b'reishay shel rishon, on the top of the first ones? In other words, if you put in a bunch of these in the mikvah, now there are some that are still in the mikvah, and you're piling on more. Now, the first ones are still in the mikvah, and their top is sticking out, and they're wet. Can you go ahead and put immerse other things on the top of those? And essentially what his question is as follows. Good achas is Rebbe Yehuda, does Rebbe Yehuda hold of, as we saw he holds, good achas, which means to say that we view halachically what's on top as if it's down, hence we see all the water on the guy's body as if it's down in the mikvah, so the second one's coming in, and it will be considered as if he's in 40 sa of water. But good asik lesley, maybe it doesn't hold that we view what's down is going up. Because imagine you want to say that you could, let's say the second guy will immerse himself on the head of the first guy, because hey, you're part of the mikvah, and we'll see the mikvah waters as if it's on top of you. So he's asking regarding these mechatan and scenarios, look, if we say that what we see on top as if it's down, maybe what's down we consider on top. And if I could, if there's a pool of water on top of the first needle, I could go ahead and put a needle on top of that needle, and it's if it's in the mikvah already, because we say good asik too. Idilma good asik nami isle. So that's the question. Do we say that he doesn't hold of good asik? Or maybe he even holds of good asik? That we'll say that just like what we see on top is down, what's down is on top, it's all connected, and you could immerse the needles, not even in the body of water, just on top of the original needles, because we see it as all connected. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to him, and he says, Tinisua, we actually learned this in the Tosefta. The Brisa says, Sholish Gemamias, in the case of when there's three pits, bodies, holes of water, that are benachal in a valley, which that's when it's on the slope of a mountain, because a valley is on the slope that's going downwards. So the Brisa says the following halacha. You have halyoina hatachtoina v'emtzois. You have the upper pit, you have the lower pit, and the middle pit. Now, halyoina v'tachtoina shel estrim estrim sa. The case is talking about when the upper pit has 20 sa of water, the bottom pit has 20 sa of water, v'emtzois shel abar sa, and the middle pit has 40 sa of water. Now, the minimum one has to have for a mikvah is 40 sa. However, we have a stream, a torrent of water that's going down the mountain. So you have these three pits of water, and now what's happening is that this torrent of water is really essentially connecting all three pits, because all the body of water is connected by this torrent coming down. So on that, the Brisa says as follows, Meir would say that you could even immerse yourself in the upper pit. And that is, as Rashi explains, based on the principle of good asik. That means to say that we view the water of the middle one as if it's going, as if it's connected upwards. And that's through the stream of water going down permits us to use the upper one. Now, as Rashi says, all the more so, for sure, you'd be able to use the bottom one. Because if he holds up good asik, which is more of a chiddush in this case of having the water viewed as if it's going up, for sure he holds up good aches, and therefore it would be kosher in all three pits of water. Now, on that he answered him, says, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda didn't say, and I argue on him to say that no, wouldn't be kosher on the top pit, Obviously, you can infer from there that Rabbi Yehuda held the Grand Mayor, and therefore you see that not only does Rabbi Yehuda hold of good achis, that we view as the body of water on the person is going down, but we view it as if it's coming up, and hence you could immerse those needles on top of the other needles that are partly inside the mikvah, because as we see, that he doesn't argue in Rabbi Meir, and he says even the top pit, which has only 20 saw, but since the middle one has 40, and the stream connects them, we see it as if that water is upward into that first pit, based on the principle of good achis. However, the Gemara asks, but Batanya, we learned in the Braisa that seems clearly that Rebbe Yehuda argues under Meir. Braisa says, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Rebbe Yehuda says, Rebbe Yehuda Talmud Beis, Meir Hoya Omer, he says, Meir would say, Matvel Bal Yoyna, regarding this case of the three pits down the slope in the valley where there's a stream of water, that he says you could immerse yourself, and there's 20 in the top one, 20 in the bottom one, and 40 in the middle one, that you could immerse yourself in the upper one. Vani Omer, and Rebbe Yehuda says, and I say, B'tachtonim Le'Bel Yoyna, you could only immerse yourself in the bottom one, because then you have good achas, which says that the middle one, which is 40, we view it as if it's going down at the bottom one, and therefore it's not just 20, we view it as if it has already 40. However, but you can't use the upper one, so you see that he does argue on him, and that he wouldn't kasher, let's say, doing needles on top of the needles that are on top of the mikvah. So Malay, so he responded to him, okay, Itanya, if you're right, if there's a brisa explicitly that says that he argues, then Tanya, then obviously there's a brisa, and we have to follow that which he says explicitly that he argues, and therefore I retract my proof that I was bringing from the previous brisa to infer that he doesn't argue on him, and therefore it would come out that according to Yehuda, one would not allow to be tevel, mechatin, betinarius, these types of little forks and these needles on top of other ones that are partly inside, because although we say good achis, we view the water on that down in the mikvah, we don't view the mikvah water going up as if it's on the needles to allow immersion on that, and actually we have to immerse in the mikvah itself. Now the Mishnah said, again regarding this differentiations, regarding what your intention was when you tevel, when you immersed, it only works for that and not for a higher level. So he said, HaTevel l'chulin, v'hochzul l'chulin, someone immersed for chulin, and his intention was for chulin. So he said that then he's able to go ahead and now use it for chulin, but he's asr for ma'isa. Now the Gemara asks, Mani mas nitin, who's the Tana of our Mishnah that makes this differentiation between chulin and ma'isa? That although we're saying there's levels, but that there's a differentiation between chulin and ma'isa, and they're not considered in the same category that if you immerse, let's say, for chulin, that should work for ma'isa too. That the Gemara says, Rabban, and he, it's like the Rabban who argue on your mayor in that Mishnah Masechet, this part that we quoted on the previous daf, the Shani Lehu ben Chul Lamaiser, that they differentiate between Chul Lamaiser, as we had quoted, that they said whatever needs Bias Maim, and Divrei Seif, whatever needs to be require an immersion, a purification of water, rabbinically, they said, then that makes, let's say, a sheni. Let's say one touches a Sefer Torah and his hands become a sheni, and then rabbinically you need to have a tefillah, you have to wash your hands, then that will also make Meiser forbidden, which means to say, but not by Chulin. And therefore we see that, unlike Rebbe Meir over there, the Rabbanan do differentiate between Meiser and Chulin, and therefore they must be the Tana of a Mishnah that says that if you're being machzik for Chulin, it won't work for Meiser. However, the Gemara asks, Eima Seifa, but look at the end of our Mishnah. So you're saying the Tana of a Mishnah is like Rabbanan, that says there's a difference between Meiser and Chulin, that is, there is a level of stringency regarding the purification of Meiser over Chulin. But the Seifa says, Bigdi Amo Oritz Medris Leprushin. The garments of an ignoramus, that although he considers his clothing tahar, but it's considered a heavy level of ava tuma, of tuma like a tumas of medris for the prushin, that those who are separated and they eat their chulun in clearly tahara. Moreover, Bigdi Prushin, we said, are medris loichli truma. Although they make sure their chulun not tahar, but they don't eat truma, they're not kahanim, so therefore we view their garments as if it's an ava tuma for those that are kahanim that eat truma, because they're not careful for the level of sanctity required for kahanim, and therefore, if a kohen touches that, he'll get the tumah from an avat tumah. Now, however, one thing we're noticing is that the Mishnah seems to have skipped medris v'maiser. It went from amaratzim to those who are careful in chulin, and then to those who eat truma. But it skipped, didn't say that it's going to be the big day prushin or medris for those who eat maiser. So that the Gemara says, Asan l'Reb Meir, that comes like Reb Meir, the Amma that he says, Chul n'maisa kade adotin, and that he says, because they're the same thing. The Prushin that are careful with their chulin, their begotten will not be considered medras for maisa, because maisa and chulin are the same thing. So the Gemara asks, Reish Rabbanan, Masev Reb Meir, comes out that the beginning of our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan who make a difference in being machzik l'chulin will not work for maisa, but then the Sefer that says that if you're considered a parish for chulin, it will work for maisa, and that there is no difference. So the Gemara answers in, yes. Reish Rabbanim, Sefer Meyaz, we find many times throughout Shas that yes, the beginning of the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanim, and the Sefer is going like Reb Meir. However, Rav Achabar Ada, he actually is Masnin La B'Sefer Chamesh Ma'alos. He actually learns, in the case that we just described, that there's actually five levels. He actually does include Meiser, because it actually is. Umukila Kulak Rabbanan, he actually says that the entire Mishnah like Rabbanan, because he says there's Prushim, that's one. Then he adds in Eichle Meiser, two. Three is Eichle Truma, four is Eichle Kodesh, and five is Chatas. And therefore, according to him, there's no question whatsoever, because he actually places, inserts over there, that there is not just Prushim, that their garments can be considered medrash for Truma, it actually would be considered medrash for Meiser, and then for Meiser to Truma, and so on. Now, also related to our Mishnah, the Gemara brings that Amar of Mori, he says, Shema mino, we can infer from our Mishnah, that chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh, regarding unconsecrated produce, which doesn't have to have just, it shouldn't become tameh, and it has only a certain level of tameh that it could even acquire in the first place, it cannot become a shlishi or revi. However, if someone went, and he's accustomed to eat kachim, meaning to say he goes ahead and eats karbanas, so therefore, he wants to make sure that his karbanas don't become tameh. So what he does is that he always eats even his non-kachim food, his regular chulin, in taharas hakodesh with the same purity so that his family should be careful because they're so used to having karbanas and they might get confused. And if they're lax in certain areas, they might come to be lax in others. So he's careful to always eat his chulin on the same level and status of what tahara is required for kodesh. So then Rav Mari says, we can infer from our Mishnah that kodesh damu, that has the same halachic criteria as kodesh, and therefore we said that, although we said that, let's say, someone that eats chulin, so his garments, let's say, will become tummy for those that eat truma, but someone that's careful, even with chulin, so he's a parish for chulin, but his status that he keeps to is the tahara of kodesh, that will have the same halacha as kodesh, and it will not be considered, let's say, his garments being considered medrash for truma or stuff like that. Now, that Gemara is Mimai. Where do you see that from our Mishnah? So we continue at top of Chav Meralf. So the Gemara says, Midulay Katani Behu Maila, from the fact that it's not mentioned as a Maila. And that is, our Mishnah should have said that the beged, the garments of a parish, someone that's careful to eat his chulin on Taharas chulin, meaning to say to make sure your chulin is not Tameh. Now, it should have said, but it will be considered medrus for those that eat their chulin on a higher level of Tahara. They make sure their chulin, even though it's just chulin, they eat it on the level of Taharas HaKadosh. It doesn't say that. So obviously you can infer from there that of course it doesn't mention it, because it's actually included in the category of Kadosh. And since it says that it will be considered medrus for Truma and for Shofar Kadosh, so therefore we didn't have to say it. So obviously from the fact that we didn't say it is because it's not just a higher level than a regular chulin, it's actually considered like Kadosh itself. Now that the Gemara has, now how do you say that? Vidilma, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's actually considered like regular chulin. And that is, it won't help what this person says, that, oh, I'm keeping my status for the level of Kodesh, because that's considered what's butla daita. You can't go ahead and create a new level of sanctity for your chulin. Or maybe, okay, fine, it's not like regular chulin, it'll be like truma. But who said it has halacha like Kodesh? And that is because there's actually machlekes tanoim that argue regarding this, as the Gemara concludes, and no one says that it's considered this maila of kachim. Maybe haidilikatanibu maila, maybe this that our Mishnah didn't say, you're right. You're having a good point that there was this omission. So you want to infer from there that if it didn't say it, must be because it's not just like its own maila, it's actually like Kodesh itself. But who said? Maybe that the reason why I didn't say it is because di damu litruma, because if it's comparable to truma, sahatani. The our Mishnah already tells us in the Mishnah regarding truma that it will be considered what the level of sanctity is for truma. And be damu lechulin, if someone that keeps his taras, he keeps the tara of his chulin like kodesh, that it's still considered like prushin of regular chulin, hatani lechulin. It already says chulin. Did not, like the Gemara says, as we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechtas Tahiris. In other words, what the Gemara is trying to say is, we really find a Machlekes Tanoim regarding someone. Again, there's a certain levels of sanctity required for different levels of produce, because there's a certain amount of Tumah they can acquire. Chulin is the most lax. Then there's Maiser, then there's Truma, then there's Kodesh, then there's Chatas. So what Rav Mori wanted to infer from our Mishnah is that, look, it didn't say about someone that has chulin, so there's prushin, that makes sure to eat that chulin b'tahara. Fine. Then someone that's even more of a parish, he doesn't just eat, make sure his chulin is tahar, he eats it with the level that had it been a carbon, even that would have been tahar. Now, it doesn't say that the regular parish's clothing would be considered a medrash for the higher level parish that keeps it for Taharas HaKodesh. Now, why doesn't it say it? Obviously, it's because it's considered like Kodesh itself, and that we already mentioned. And that the Gemara says, who said that? We have a machlekes that one opinion actually says in this Mishnah of Taharas that we're going to quote, that Taharas HaKodesh will still consider it like regular chulin. And one says it'll be like Truma, but no one says it's going to have the status as Kodesh itself. As the Mishnah says, chulin shenasol Taharas HaKodesh. Someone goes and treats his chulin, regular unconsecrated produce, more stringent than chulin, more stringent than mice and Truma. He actually treats it like a carbon, which a carbon can become a revi by Kodesh, which means to say he keeps it away even from shlishis, where chulin has no problem touching shlishis. It can become tame. Still, the Tanna Kama says, Arein Chulin, we still treat it like regular Chulin. It doesn't have the status as Kodesh. And Rabbi Lazar B'Tzadikam, he says, Harein Ketruma. No, it will be considered a higher level of sanctity, and we'll give it the status of Truma. But no one says anything about Kodesh. So how could you infer from the Mishnah that it must be like Kodesh? Who said? It could be like Chulin, which the Mishnah already speaks about. It could be like Truma, which the Mishnah already speaks about. And that's why it admitted it, because it's in one of those two categories. Who says like Kodesh? So Ella, rather, the Gemara says that what Rav Mar was bringing was Misefa. His ride was from the end of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah concludes by saying that Yosi ben Ye'ez, the Hoyechasi Shebekuna, he was from the pious ones of Kahuna, meaning to say he really kept to the status of the Oichli Truma. And yet in spite of that, Voyse Mitpachta Midras LaKodesh, his kerchief was considered an Avatuma for those that kept a higher level of sanctity, that of Kodesh. And similarly, Yechim ben Gudgoda, Hoyechla Taras HaKodesh Koyam, if he would eat even his chulin, we did everything he had on the level of tahara required for kachim all his days, and yet in spite of that, we viewed his kerchief as if it was an avatuma for the higher level status of tahara required for the mechatas, for the paraduma waters. Now the inference is lachatas in lekodesh loy. What did we view his kerchief as? Let's say an avatuma for the chatas waters, but for kachim not. Alma, Ksavar, Chulin, Shanasa, Taras HaKodesh. Obviously, the Mishnah holds that Chulin that was made on the level of sanctity required of Tahara for Kodesh is Kodesh Dami, is like Kachim itself, and therefore his kerchief was good for Kachim people, even though it was just Chulin. Because even though it's Chulin, but it was Nasa, Taras HaKodesh, we view it as Kachim itself, so though it's going to be an Avatuma for the higher level of Chatas, but for Kachim itself, Chulin, Shanasa, Taras HaKodesh will be viewed at the same level of sanctity as Kodesh itself.